And so what I like to call where we got started now is the coming to the end of the first quarter of the season, right?
Right.
And so with the end of the first quarter coming up with week four, entering into that, week three had a couple of injuries, some impactful ones where Chris Carson actually is going to be, his knee injury doesn't seem to be as significant as first suspected.
That's good news, yeah.
Right. Happy to hear that on that front. But it looks like maybe they may send him out precautionary for one to two weeks there. So Carlos Hyde is one to keep an eye on while he's going to be out of the lineup for sure. Mm-hmm. Then when we don't have as good news, unfortunately, in Chicago with Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, that was a shame. Another ACL. Mm-hmm.
ACL out for the season, unfortunately. That's a hard hit to that offense. But Deontay Johnson, he's also in concussion.
Oof, that was a hurt piece.
Yeah, I know.
0.7 points.
Right. Yeah. Especially, you know, we had such high expectation for him going into this game. And to your point, it was just something where, you know, got a concussion, he's in protocol, and he continues to actually be in that. So that's something to definitely keep your eye out on.
Yep.
Throughout the week, just to see if he is actually able to practice at all. Talk about Drew Lock. Looks like he's going to actually be out for another week. They're going to be starting a different quarterback now in Denver. Unfortunately, it just seems like it's injuries after injuries on the offensive and defensive side there in Denver. And that seems to be, of course, a common theme throughout the NFL, but specifically definitely with Denver. So that's another hard hit for them there. And then we talk about wide receivers. We talk about Godwin down in Tampa Bay.
Hammy.
It looks like he's going to miss some time. Yes. And those are like the worst ones because those ones linger around when you talk about those hamstring or groin injuries, unfortunately. So that's something you definitely want to keep an eye on for your lineups there and see what's going on. But even bigger news, right? Something we had the luxury for the first 3 weeks to not have to really talk about. Any outbreaks, right?
Here we go.
Rears its ugly head.
Right out of nowhere. So it's like we kind of made it through the first 3 weeks, kind of maybe even got a little spoiled to think like maybe we got this under control. And as soon as you think you do, boom, the Tennessee and Vikings. I think Tennessee right now is reported they maybe have a couple of cases. Mm-hmm. I think 3 cases. So with players. So that's a situation, of course, that affects also who they were playing, which was the Minnesota Vikings. So that's something where right now they're not even allowed into their facilities. That's going to be something to watch because that's a domino effect now because, you know, this week is their opponents that they're playing this week and that in danger of that those games not moving forward based on those results and how the week can kind of progress.
So are we saying football might not happen for these folks?
So it's been talked about some rescheduling they've been talking about. They've been talking about possibly moving some Monday night games around if possible. It's been a lot of discussion. I think the thing about it is they want to make sure that they get it right. Because what you don't need is a real big outbreak. If you only have 3 or, you know, maybe it excels to maybe, 8, that's one thing. But when you get, you know, in those double digits and it starts to have an outbreak, that can be bad things. And that's kind of something, you know, we kind of proactively thought about in the offseason was thinking like, how long do we expect for these guys, you know, to stay in, you know, within parameters for an entire 16, 17 weeks? Right. And beyond, because we were even talking about what the
playoffs.
Preseason.
Oh. Well, playoffs.
Far, no, yeah, we'll playoffs about. If they're lucky playoffs? To get there. But even as far as training camps, those type of playoffs? Situations. So it's been a very long haul. So I think this is going to be something to kind of keep your eye on, especially if you have players in those off of those two teams, off of Minnesota and Tennessee. You want to watch that. And then also who they're actually playing this week. So, yeah, so those are news with the unfortunate news as we come into the end of the first quarter, week 4. Some things to keep out in our first issue with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Week four.
NFC. So this is going to be a favorite part of the show for me right here. Elite picks brought to you by Trey NG.
Sponsored by O.
Right. So listen, Nick Foles, he came right off the bench last week, gave him 3 touchdowns, was able to actually come out with a victory. You know, this week he actually goes against the Colts. I like him as a nice pick this week. He's named the starter now, of course. You know, after he comes in and wins the game, it's kind of hard at that point to go back. It's just surprising that Trubisky kind of lost his job, unfortunately, after going 2-0.
All right.
In one of those situations where he lost his game, lost the starting job when actually still getting the at the end of the day, getting the wins. But they move with Nick Foles. I like him as a start this week.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, nice little byproduct there.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
Yes, he's going to benefit definitely from Foles getting in there. Great point.
Now, I was actually going to say it's going to be a little hiccup out there without Cohen, but I think Nick Foles, he actually brings a lot to the table. So, yeah, I like him there too.
Yeah, definitely a different skill set to your point. Mm-hmm. Tariq Cohen definitely is an asset to dump the ball down to. But it's going to be interesting to see what other pieces does Anthony Miller. We know Allen Robinson is definitely going to benefit. Graham. What other pieces with Graham, right. He's definitely a nice pickup. Jimmy Graham, and he didn't have much value before with Trubisky. I mm-hmm. think this definitely picks up now with Nick Foles in there. We thought about a stud. I think this one continues to be a stud. I think maybe Derrick Henry, of course we got to keep in mind the whole COVID part of it. We talked about the breaking news with that and Titans players is actually being affected. Right. If he's able to go, he will be going against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's a little tough matchup, but I do like it though. I do like it. Yeah. Looking at the type of running back he is, I think he should do solid.
Yes. And you've seen in the past week on week three, he kind of called himself kind of jumping over at the goal line, airborne. You haven't seen really too many running backs do that, but he's such a load that, mm-hmm. That's a business decision. Do you really want to go up in the air and collide with Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, nah, I would have moved.
Right.
I definitely like that as a nice pick for week four. If that game is able to move forward, I just want to keep an eye on. Of course, that's going to affect your Tennessee players and also your Steelers players. Mm-hmm. So definitely keep an eye out on that. And then we had a rookie kind of bust on the scene in week three.
Out of left field. Oh, brought him up, believe it or not. Like me and O had a little conversation. He was actually giving him a lot of good praises. And I said that I was a little iffy, but yeah, you're right.
I told you, man.
He balled out Justin Jefferson.
Deep shot. Jefferson's got separation and he's got the catch inside the 40. Jefferson still going. See you later. Justin Jefferson, have a day.
And I actually liked him a lot. That's a pain point for me is that in my redraft league, I liked him a lot in the preseason. And I thought that he would actually turn the corner just a little bit faster.
I remember because you were talking about immediate production.
Right. I was expecting that because he was familiar with the offense. Supposedly, it was something that he already ran at LSU. Mm-hmm. I thought the opportunity, of course, with Stephon Diggs moving over, him being in the slot, I thought with Adam Thielen getting a lot of attention, he would kind of benefit from it. And we've seen that, but it didn't materialize until week three. So it's definitely something that I think that will continue. He's going to have his ups and downs, but I think he got the first one out the way, and I think you're going to see a little bit more consistency of his production going up. And it was a good thing for the Vikings. They were very close to actually pulling that one out, and he had a monster day. So definitely look out for the rookie for sure. This week going against the Houston Texans.
JJ.
And yeah, and that secondary has been very friendly. So I do definitely like that matchup this week.
Yeah.
We're talking about Daryl Henderson Jr.
Who?
Listen. Mm-hmm. Right.
We've been talking about Cam Akers at the start of this season.
How about that? The rookie goes down. And then we talked about Malcolm Brown. He goes down. Mm-hmm. And then Daryl Henderson takes advantage of a great opportunity. Definitely did last week. And his last two outings.
Seize the day, young man.
Yeah, he's running hard.
He had a great outing against the Eagles and also against the Bills. I think, the Giants is a great matchup that will continue. The Giants are not putting up too much fight. They don't have much fight left, to be honest. I like the matchup. He's definitely an elite play for me this week, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I think you know about this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Devin. Young Dev.
Singletary, mm-hmm. my boy, running back, Buffalo. He's actually going to be going against the Raiders. And the Raiders were kind of up and down. We've seen a great performance from them in Monday Night Football. Then it came back last week and not so much of what we've seen the previous week. And now they go against Buffalo, a great team, 3-0. Right. So what's actually, I think this is going to kind of allow us to actually see what the Raiders are actually going to be. Mm-hmm. This year is going to be, I think it's going to be a great matchup. I like Devin Singletary. He benefited, of course, of last week with Zach Moss actually being out of the lineup. So it was a lot more of a load. But I think he took advantage of that. And that's exactly what you want to see. And mm-hmm. I think that's something where he can, could kind of continue to carve out his opportunities. I like him as a definitely elite play this week.
Yep. And it also works to his benefit that the Raiders are allowing the most points to running back so far.
Yeah.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Yep. now you can pick from either one of these two next wide receivers. Like, honestly, like you can either pick Odell or Landry. What's your poison? What's your poison against the Cowboys?
Oof. I'm a little biased.
In a past life, I would have said Odell.
Right.
But now,
in the past life,
I'm actually a little biased. I got Landry. Neither one of them, let's just be frank, they haven't either exploded onto the scene thus far into the season. Okay. It's something that, you know, we were expecting a lot more production. When you think about that offense, you think about these playmakers. Mm-hmm. I would have thought they, you know, they in Odell had a game, and then last week wasn't as impressive. Landry had, you know, some par like first week, but it hasn't been as consistent the last couple of weeks. Good news is that they actually are going to be playing Dallas this week.
Yep. Starting corners on IR.
Bye-bye. Both of them, right. Yep. So that's definitely great news for them. It could be an opportunity for them to kind of get right the wrongs and hopefully work through some things. Can Baker Mayfield make the right choices, the right calls, and get the ball into the right hands? Right. It's definitely going to be interesting for me. I do actually like the matchup going against that Dallas secondary. You got to like it a lot.
Yep, yeah, for sure. And for sure. Dallas has also given up the second most points to the wide receiver position so far this year.
If they play him right, it could be first against the most points against the wide receiver position.
How about that? About that? If Odell and Landry can take advantage of the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now this is a player that I kind of I didn't want to play in week two, honestly, at all, because you know how he did last year. You know, he exploded week one. He exploded week one last year and this season, and then he gave you a donut. So Sammy Watkins, how you feel about him? Let me know.
So me personally, I just kind of think that Sammy Watkins might benefit by what's happening around him. And right. So like we know that Belichick is that defensive mind. We come here week to week and we talk about how he focuses on taking away your weapons, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, who's he going to focus on, right? Mm-hmm. I think it might be more towards, you know, Edwards-Helaire, Hill and Kelsey.
Right.
But
which could provide a great opportunity.
Yeah. Sure. But that's why, you know, to me, he would be an all right play. But I would like to really hear what you think, Dre.
Yeah, so your point there, that's the thing. It's so many weapons in that offense. And what the great asset that Patrick Mahomes does is that he distributes the ball to everyone. And so to your point there, it's like I think Belichick, he's been known to take away your best asset. But what is that? What does he identify as the best weapon on that offense? It's going to be interesting. To your point, I think the obvious three are the Hill, Helaire, and Kelsey. Right. He's got to choose one. And if he does choose one, I don't think any of them will be Sammy Watkins, which I think is giving him a great opportunity to, you know, kind of get loose. If he can actually take advantage of maybe some one-on-one deep down the field, we know he has the speed to actually take advantage of it. Him and Hartman seem to definitely be taking a nice little advantage. But I do like to play this week for sure.
All right, nice, so I'm a double down on what y'all saying, and it's up to y'all this week. Y'all advice is going to steer me this way. I'm gonna run Watkins and Hartman just because y'all just said so.
And Hartman, you got to pick one or the other, bro. One or the other.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't play him last night. Had I played him last night, I probably would have came a lot closer to winning.
That's true. But that's true. I did notice because it doesn't take much. That game though, Hartman had a lot of opportunities. He actually dropped one in the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's a lot of opportunities within that offense, and it doesn't take much because these type of players we're talking about explosive. They can get explosive plays where they only need one 50 yarder to take it to the house, and that right there can also almost put you into double digits depending on how many yarders it is. So, you know, they don't need necessarily 10 receptions. More so you're looking for anywhere between 5 to 6 receptions and a good amount of yards and a touchdown. So
you sold me already.
The case can be made for either one. But I'm with O. You got to choose
don't
one.
Back now.
No,
I'm with O. You. I'm with O though. You got to choose one. But I definitely can make the case can be made for either one for sure.
So I have an enticing one. Mm-hmm. So you know, I don't like to go with the no brainers all the time.
No chalk talk, huh? No chalk talk here.
So I'm actually looking at a tight end, and I'm looking at Dalton Schultz over in Dallas going up against the Browns. Now, not your sexy name, I get it, right?
Right.
But when you dig into the numbers, you realize that he has been targeted 7 times per game. Mm-hmm. And he's going up against the Browns, who give up the second most points to tight ends. Mm. So you have a 10% chance of doing better going up against the Browns. I think he ends up in the end zone.
Mm. I like that one. So what I do like about him is his ability, like we talked about with Patrick Mahomes, Dak also has a great ability to make sure he disputes the ball out to a lot of different weapons there in Dallas. And I think he has been coming on strong. I think that's definitely a bold pick that he gets in the end zone, but possibly though, he has a lot of targets there. I do like him as we get ready to come up on those bye weeks and you're going to be digging mm-hmm. for some tight ends. I definitely love this play mm-hmm. and this pickup there. Definitely a lead play.
Nice pickup. Might have to look at him in the redraft.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's a go.
It's a go, everybody.
Yeah, we here, baby.
So, let's get right into it since we have a show just kind of full of talent to get through. We got Noah Fant going up against the Jets.
Uh-huh.
And the Jets give up 10.4 points on average to the tight end. So the elite circle has this marked as favorable. How you feeling, Andrea?
I think it's a go. I like Noah Fant. I have him in my redraft league. He's been, he's been consistent. He doesn't give you a blowout, a great large number, but I definitely like his production. He's a go for me.
It's a go for me as well. I'm going to be honest with you. Against that depleted Jets defense, I just don't see them really showing up. And I think Noah, and he possibly has a few other pieces on that team that can show out with him. I think they're definitely going to be standout. So, yeah, I'm going to want Noah Fant.
And I like the matchup. So, it's a go.
It's a go.
Next up, we got Kyler Murray versus the Panthers. And the Panthers are giving up 13 points on average to the quarterback position. So this is a tough matchup. Mm. How you feeling about it, Drea?
The go for me, Kyler Murray has been made me a believer thus far this season. Didn't have a great game last week. They struggled. They wasn't able to get the win. I think I like the matchup. As we talked about a number of times, Carolina is starting like 7 to 8 new starters on that defense. I definitely like that matchup.
Yeah, as well as me, I'm going to give it a go for me too. Kyler Murray, I just think he has the arm, he has the legs, he has the whole set. Like I give it to him,
Yeah, it's a go for me. Pick your poison with him. If you try and shut him down through the air, he's going to get it on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. So
it's a go.
Moving on to the next one, we have Melvin Gordon going up against the Jets, who on average are giving up 24 points to the running back position. So the elite circle has this listed as favorable. What you thinking, Andrea?
That's for sure. As we talked about, the Jets are, for the most part, I already know what type of season this is going to be. I don't think that defense is going to be putting up too much of a fight. It's a go for me.
Yeah, same here. Like I said, depleted. They really don't show up on Sundays, Mondays or Thursdays. To be honest with you, I give it to my man Mel. I think he's going to go off this game. Look out for him. It's a go.
Even I hope so. With Philip Lindsay coming back.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said I hope so, because I have him in my redraft. I'm hoping.
I still think Melvin Gordon's going to go off because it's the Jets.
Yes, like it's going to be enough to go around. Right, so it's going to be enough to go around.
A go for me.
It's a go.
Moving on to the next player, we have Will Fuller.
Willie Philly.
Yeah.
Going up against the Vikings, who are on average giving up 31.9 points to wide receivers.
Yep.
That is a favorable matchup.
Yep.
Andrea, how you feeling?
Yeah, it's about time for one of these teams to get on track. I think Willie Fully from Philly is definitely up for a do for one. He's definitely a go for me in this matchup. I like it a lot.
It's been a no for the Vikings all season, but Willie from Philly, it's a go for him. I got a feeling he's definitely going to probably get that 31.9 point average, or maybe even more. Like, yeah, so it's a go for me.
Shakira said the hips don't lie.
Shakira.
The numbers don't lie in this matchup. I got to take it. 31.9 points. Willie from Philly is going to go off. It's a go.
It's a go.
Now, this guy went all out last week.
He did.
Rex Burkhead going up against the Chiefs, who are averaging 14.8 points to the running back position. That is marked as a tough matchup from us. How are you feeling about it, Andrea?
I agree. It's a tough matchup. And it's so tough because we know with Bill Belichick, that backfield is always confusing. Tough to actually get a good understanding of which way it's going to go. I do like the ability, of course, that he can catch the ball out the backfield. So to me, it's tempered the expectation. I see him as an RB3, but he's still a goal for me in deeper leagues.
See, this is where it gets a little murky for me. It's a maybe for me. Like, I just can't call it, can't quite call it. Never have been able to call the backfield with New England for the past 3 years, and I'm going to stand pat with that. No pun intended. Pats. Let's go. But maybe.
And we talk about it all the time. You know, this upcoming week is going to be somebody else's week. It's not going to be Rex's week. And then going up against the Chiefs, who are tough to begin with, it's a no all the way.
Yep.
Speaking about breakout performances, you know, this is important. Cedric Wilson, wide receiver from the Dallas Cowboys, had a nice showing. And now he's going up against the Browns, who on average are giving up 28.6 points to the wide receiver position. We have that listed as favorable. Andrea, how you feeling about that?
It's a no for me, right? One hit. I just feel like that was a great game last week. Like, he had one great game. I'm not comfortable with him giving you that production on a week in, a week out basis. Even though Keeneland, it can be favorable as far as a matchup. I think his other weapons that's ahead of him on the depth chart. So it's a no for me.
My name is Cedric. Who? Last name Wilson. Listen. To be honest with you, it's a no for me. I didn't hear about him until this week. I'm not just going to take the bait. I'm sorry. That's what being all elite is all about. If you want to believe it, go ahead. But yeah, it won't get me, honestly. Like, we know how it is. So yeah, it's just a hard no for me. I'm sorry, Cedric. I hope you do good though.
Yeah, and I also, for everything that you just said, I have one hit wonder written down, actually. there's no way that I am rocking with Cedric next week or in 2 weeks from now. It's a right. No.
We probably won't ever talk about him again for the rest of the season.
No. I hope we do, though.
This is the name. You know, people like that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right?
Your guy.
Going up against the Patriots, who are giving up a 17.2 point average to running backs. We have that listed as a tough matchup.
All right.
How y'all feeling?
Well, for me, listen, they just came off of what was supposed to be a tough matchup against the Ravens, and he did just fine, right?
He did.
And so I think that has a lot to do, no disrespect to him, it has a lot to do with Patrick. And my confidence in Patrick and finding ways to get him the ball, whether that's passing out the backfield or just handing the ball off to him, I'm confident they'll figure something out. So for me, it's a go.
Yeah, it's a go for me. I just got a feeling they're going to embarrass the Patriots this week. Too many weapons. You can pick your poison with that one, Belichick, but I don't see you shutting it all down. So I think Clyde Edwards, he's going to get off.
And for me, and this is my player, he's on my team, but I actually have him marked as play at your own risk this week, because I actually do feel that Belichick may take him out of the game plan this week. I have him as a no.
See, my only concern with that is the Belichick usually had better defensive players in a typical year, right? But they had so many players on that defense that opted out. I'm just not sure where he has left will be able to pull that off. But we're going to see.
So how you feeling about Miles Sanders going up against the 49ers, who are only giving up 12 points to the running back position? We have that listed as a tough matchup.
Yeah, it pains me to say this as an Eagle fan. Listen, I have it as a no. Right now, offense is just struggling, right? And it's something where Wentz, of course, has to figure some things out, and a lot of it is being blamed on him. But I think it also has to do with the offensive line, which is directly going to affect Miles Sanders. I think he gets, you know, some opportunities this week, but that's a tough matchup going against the 49ers, even with them being hurt and limping into the game. I don't like it. I have to see it more consistent to believe it. So it's a no for me.
Abort. That's what I say. No, it's just a hard no. Like, the defense is just too much, unfortunately. You know, the Bengals gave them problems, to be honest with you, and the 49ers right. on a whole different tier than the Bengals. So I just don't like it at all this week. It's a hard no.
Hey, Miles looked consistent, but not against this team. This is one where that 12 point average doesn't lie. Don't like the matchup. Don't like how the Eagles are playing. So, no.
Right. And that's a team that's able within the 49ers to figure it out with injuries, right? They didn't even have a starting quarterback last week, but still found a way. They're a team that's kind of figured it out, even with losing Bosa. I think this team, the 49ers, like you said, they're on a different level. I'm just not sure if the Eagles are quite ready yet to face that type of formidable opponent. Now, granted, it's not the same team that went to the Super Bowl, but yeah, it's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we have Leonard Fournette going up against the Chargers, who are giving up 11.6 points on average to the running backs. We have that listed as a tough matchup. What are you thinking?
It's also tough to call, right? That's another busy backfield. Just the week before, he had a great output, and he got into the end zone a couple of times. And then just last week in week three, it was like, what happened? And it seemed like it was Jones' show. Mm-hmm. It just seems like that's going to be the type of thing. And week to week, the roles seem to change. You're not going to be too comfortable with starting him. And I don't feel comfortable this week. So it's a no for me going against the Chargers.
Same here, same reasons exactly. I got a feeling Ronald, he's going to be, the one that dips into his touches, obviously, because he's really just starting burning back. And like I said, the up and down game, I just don't have time for it. I mean, if you're desperate, like a real desperate fantasy wife, then put him in your flex. But other than that, no.
Right.
And it's a no for me because that's a carousel of running backs that's not located in Cleveland. I want no parts.
Right. That's the only one that it seems to be working really well for. That's a great point. Oh,
hey, not a bad showing last week or the week before, actually. Joe Burrow going up against the Jaguars, who are giving up 22.6 points to the quarterback position. We have that listed as a favorable matchup. How you feeling?
I like the matchup for Burrow. Even against the Eagles last week, he found ways to kind of get to his different wide receivers. For me, it's definitely a go against the Jaguars. Like you said, they're giving up a lot of points as far as on the average. I think that continues. The rookie has surprised me jumping on the scene, and I think that continues. So definitely, it's a go for me.
Yeah, it's a go for me as well. I kind of like what I see in Joe Burrow. Like, he passed the eye test. I mean, he might not get the W's on the field, but I think all in all, he's going to improve week in and week out. And this is a pretty good test for him. The Jaguars had a tough time against Miami, and, that really isn't that much of a better team than Cincinnati. I think this young fella can do real well there. It's a go.
So I'm just going to mark down the date and time that G says something nice about a Bengals player.
Yeah, right.
Now, you should. First, did you guys see the Jags last week?
Yeah.
Horrendous.
That Thursday night game, yes.
It is a go all day for me.
It's a go.
Yeah, so, sure. How you guys feeling about Tyler Higbee going up against the Giants, who on average, the Giants are only giving up 4.1 points to the tight end position. So, sneaky tough against tight ends. How you feeling?
I think he's not the average tight end, right? You got to think about some of the tight ends they may have faced early in the season. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have actually went against one to this caliber to this point. I think he finds a way. He's the top five tight end right now for me. He's a go.
Same here. It's like he just burst onto the scene. I mean, not saying that he wasn't good last year or the year before then, but I do want to say that Tyler has found his role. He's been able to surprise us over the last 2 weeks. I mean, last week he wasn't the best, but at the same time, like I said, surprising as a tight end. So he's a go for me going against the Giants. They kind of, sorry on the defensive end.
You know what? I had him as a no, but then I heard Drea, and now I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
You gotta run him. You gotta run him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a go.
Now we got Tyler Boyd going up against the Jaguars, who are giving up 20 points to the wide receiver position. We have that marked as a favorable matchup. What do you guys think?
His last two albums have been impressive when he went against Cleveland. And then last week, what he was able to do against the Eagles. I think that definitely continues. I love the matchup. The fact that he's going against the Jags, that makes it even better. Him and Burrow seem to have something going there. A nice connection. So it's a go for me.
It's a go for me as well. I like Tyler Boyd over, even like you said, even Green, even Tate. Like, you know what I mean? I just think that
10 receptions.
Right. I think he just has a pretty good connection with Burrow. And that's the reason why it's a go for me with Burrow. It's because of boys. So it's got to go the other way around.
Man,
so,
man.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a go for me, boy. Get
it. Okay. And hey, Boyd is leading the team in targets. And AJ Green has said he is still adjusting. Mm-hmm. So that is a go all day.
It's a go.
Now, this next person, like, seriously, does he really even need this matchup? We got Russell Wilson going up against the Miami Dolphins, yep, who are averaging 23.5 points to the quarterback position. We consider that a favorable matchup.
Mm-hmm. So I believe in giving people their flowers while they're here, right? And to me, Russell Wilson this year has...
I like that.
He has been... lights out, right? You gotta give him respect. He's definitely, I mean, I know it's early in the season. We still kind of finishing up the first quarter, as mm-hmm. we talked about. But I think he's definitely in the conversation. If you're talking about MVPs, he yeah. definitely has to be there, right? He shows mm-hmm. you week in and week out how he's able to actually elevate that team. He's airing the ball out. They have moved from a running back heavy dominant team or a defensive team to actually giving it all to Russell, and he's been able to take it on. It's no question at all. It's a go for me.
Same here. Yeah, Russell Wilson, he's just, I don't know, he's been able to prove year in and year out, like, you know, I'm that guy, you know what I mean? Sometimes it just falls short on this end or that end, but other than that, he's been able to produce year in, year out. Please believe in this guy. I'm talking about, he's lights out, and yeah, he's a go for me all day.
Listen to G, because I got him, and I am loving it these last 3 weeks. He single-handedly uh-huh. is winning me games.
Yep.
Yeah. Major. So yeah, Russell Wilson is playing amazing on another level right now. Hey, I always knew he could do it because he's been my quarterback since 2014. So I'm running him.
It's right. Go.
Now we got Alvin Kamara going up against the Lions, who are giving up 25.1 points on average. We have that listed as favorable. What are you guys thinking?
Yes, he's definitely seems as one of the bright spots, definitely in that offense. He's able to get going. I like what he was able to do last week. I think that definitely continues. He's able to catch the ball out the backfield, still run the ball in between the tackles. He's aggressive. He's looking like he's kind of get back into old form. I like what I was seeing there. Love the matchup against Detroit. They're not going to put much of a fight up, just to be honest. It's a go for me.
All right. So, I watched him. What was that? Sunday night. And I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, he was all over the field doing everything, running, catching, blocking. Oh, like, I'm being honest with you.
Stat line was crazy.
it's beyond what he does past the stat line. Like, they don't necessarily say, okay, yeah, he had 9 blocks for Breeze to give him an extra 2-point-something seconds mm-hmm. so that he can release the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's a go for me because he's just all over the field. He's doing everything.
Yes.
Alvin
for sure.
Being Alvin.
Mm-hmm.
If he ain't a go, I don't know who is. And he doesn't right, exactly. even need the favorable matchup.
At all. Right. Right. Even if it was a tough matchup, I'm still, he's one of those ones automatic. It's yep. a go.
It's a go.
And we have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett going up against the Dolphins, who are giving up 25.5 points on average to the wide receiver position. We have that listed as a favorable position.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys thinking?
Well, I know G is going to be happy, have some insight on one of them, but I like both of them. I love the matchup. It's the Dolphins we're talking about, right? Russell, as we talked about, he's been getting the ball to, he's been doing another quarterback that's doing a great job getting the ball out to different weapons on his team. DK and Tyler have both benefited from that week in and week out. I think that continues for me, especially against Miami. It's a go for me.
And it's funny that you said, I'm going to give you details on both of them. Tyler Lockett, A1, if he throw the ball to him 10 times, he might get about 8 or 9 of those catches. Mm-hmm. The only downfall about Decaf is he's a little young. He still learned the game. He got to understand, catch the ball, make sure that you secure the ball. You know, like I said, just paying attention to detail, but both of them are a go. Both of them.
Yep, favorable matchup, and they are playing with a very hot quarterback right now.
MVP.
Yeah, so uh-huh. you know, somebody's going to benefit from being on the other side of mm-hmm. of the passes coming from Russ, and you know, both of them right now are playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
It's a go.
We got Travis Kelce going up against the Patriots, who are only giving up 4.4 points on average to mm-hmm. the tight end position. We have that listed as a tough matchup. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, so for me, Kelce, he definitely has a tough matchup. As we talked about, Bill Belichick is going to find a way to take one weapon away. We just can't identify which one he's going to choose because you got to pick your poison with this offense. And even last week, going against a tough Ravens defense, I think Kelce was still able to find his way to get, you know, to be productive. I think that continues this week. May not have an explosive game, but that definitely is a go for me. He's a must start on a week in and week out basis. It's a go for me.
Same here. Like you said, you got to pick your poison. And unfortunately, they have too many weapons, just one too many. And honestly, like I think Travis, if he doesn't get a lot of yards and a lot of catches, he'll probably end up with a lot of touchdowns. So one of the two. So he is a go.
And for me, this is one of those cases where, yeah, it's a tough matchup with numbers, but this is where you take that player potential over what those numbers are telling you.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And Kelsey's definitely one where you go. It's a go. And so we have James Robinson going up against the Bengals, who are giving up 26.8 points on average to the running back position, which is listed as a favorable matchup. What are you guys thinking?
Well, listen, last Thursday night, it wasn't too many bright spots for the Jaguars, right? This was one of the only ones was James Robinson. His ability to be creative in that backfield, no matter whether it's catching the ball or going through the tackles, he is a must start for me. I love this matchup against the Bengals. It's a go for me.
Same here. Last year, the Gardner Minshew, DJ Chark thing, that was like the that was the it thing with the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. This year, that's still the it thing, but James Robinson, he's the one bright spot that's going on in Jacksonville. He's a go for me. He's been lighting it up.
Yeah. And to me, he's the best thing about the Jaguars, and they didn't even draft him. Right. So he's how about a go. Play that man.
It's a go.
And so we have Mike Davis going up against the Cardinals, who are giving up 22.9 points on average to the running back position. We have that matchup listed as a push. Mm-hmm. How you feeling, Drea?
Not too confident. That's not great news. Now, if we were talking about McCaffrey being in this situation, mm-hmm. I would definitely say a go. You're talking about different skill sets with Mike Davis. He has, you know, his moments, and he's going to have solid weeks. I just don't love this matchup. So for me this week, it's a no.
Okay. Well, Mike Davis, I'm going to be honest with you. He's surprising me. He's filling in not great in a great way, you know, because everybody has to pick up the slack of Christian McCaffrey. But I think he's actually doing a solid job with the quarterback he has. Teddy Bridgewater is one for intermediate throws. And, you know, Mike Davis has put himself in a good position, honestly, to actually pulled a lot of the slack that CMC had to do. He's a go for me.
Hit or miss. So for me, last week was all right. This week against the Cardinals, I'm not thinking so much. He would be a no for me this week. And with that, I'm looking at Devin Bush, linebacker.
IDP.
Yeah, IDP, MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Devin Bush, linebacker, Pittsburgh, going up against the Titans. What are you thinking? Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a slow start to the season. I think he's definitely in form. That defense for Pittsburgh, as we talked about, is legit. I like a lot of what they have going on. Even this matchup, because we're talking about the Titans, when you know they're going to run the ball. So for me, it's a go.
For me as well, it's a go. Yeah, Pittsburgh, they are A1, real deal. And Devin Bush, like, he's a main component of that defense that drives them. So, yeah, going against Tennessee with Derrick Henry in that backfield and getting a lot of those totes, mm-hmm. I got a feeling he's going to be lined up pretty in a nice way to get a few stops. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a go.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking, G. As a matter of fact, you know, he is consistent. The Titans like to run the ball. We know that. And Bush is the man that's going to be all over the field for Pittsburgh trying to combat that. So that is definitely a go for me.
It's a go.
And to wrap it up, we have Brandon Graham, defensive end in Philadelphia, going up against the 49ers. What are you thinking, Drea?
This matchup, it hasn't been too, as we talked about with my Eagles, I love them, I ride with them, I'm going to die with them, but hasn't been too many spots to talk about. Brandon Graham, I think this matchup could be a favorable matchup for him if the quarterback is Mullins. We're just not sure if they're going to go with Jimmy G or if they're going to go with Mullins. So it depends on the quarterback. For me, if it is Mullins, it's a go. I like it. I like this matchup, and no.
a lot.
For me, you know, that, and I'm gonna be honest with you, Philly will be on the defense will be on the field for a long time just because of that 49ers defense. Like, they're gonna try to three and out them a whole mm-hmm. lot. Mm-hmm. So he does have the potential there, but I, like I said, I just don't know. I just don't see it. I think
it's not much alike. I get it.
Yes, it's not much alike at all. Like at all. So yeah, it's a no for me.
And for me, I actually have this down as a go. Hasn't been much to really like about the Eagles, but on the defensive side, Brandon Graham has been holding it down and really doing his part. And so I actually feel like that could continue, especially if the Niners are going with the backup quarterback.
That's the key point there. We got to wait and see who's going to actually start a quarterback for this one. That ties a bow on our discussion this week in regards to the fantasy impact. But definitely catch us for our football discussion where we break down a couple of games this week for week 4.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in.